Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CRP Convention News. This is Diane Lenning, your host. We will begin in just a few moments. If you'd like to call us, it's 1-877-497-9937. Interested in hearing what's happening at CRP convention in Sacramento, stay with us. We will be live. Yes, we will be live in just a few minutes. We'll be taking calls in a few moments. A toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. CRP Convention News. We will start in just a few minutes. Thank you. Our call-in number is 1-877-497-9937. If you're at the convention, please call in and share with us what's happening. CRP convention news happening right now as we speak in Sacramento, the capital of California. We are so glad you're with us. This is Diane Lenning, your host. If you would like to call in tonight, especially if you are at the convention, we would love to have you call in to our toll-free number, 1-877-497-9937. Again, that number is 1-877-497-9937. We would like to hear from you and hear some news of what is happening at the CRP convention. I would like to start tonight with a word from our 16th president. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Many people have speculated over the last year, after losing an election that was really ours to win, why did the Republican Party lose big time? I don't mean by big numbers, but I mean like we really should have won it. Why did we lose? Well, this saying that Abraham Lincoln said was a tried and true principle that he was really, in effect, quoting. Where did it come from? It came from biblical principles. The Republican Party has been known for years to stand upon principles and to discuss issues. And for those who are emotionally involved, that sometimes doesn't seem to fill the bill for them. And for those who stand on principle and issues, they don't understand why those who run more on emotions don't flock to the Republican Party. Well, I'll tell you what. The party has been using self-defeating principles. How can they fix that? Well, I could tell you right now, until they fix it, they're not going to win. They will continue to fail by their own self-defeating principles that they are indeed following and enacting throughout the party. What is that? I have seen and heard it personally for 20 years. It's probably been going on since Ronald Reagan. The mantra that has been espoused by Republican leaders that I have heard over and over and over again is divide and conquer. I'm telling you, folks, that will not do it for the Republican Party or people with principles who want to win in elections. Now, I'm telling you, are we supposed to be all united behind your candidate? Or should we all unite behind my friend's candidate? Or shall we unite behind my favorite candidate? That's not the number one issue, although that falls in line down the list. The number one issue is that we are united in principle. And where is our principle stated? Yes, you know it. It's stated in the platform of the Republican Party. And when we are not united behind the principles of our platform, as written to reflect our principles accurately, we will continue to be divided and to lose. My goal and theme from here on out is united we win. Why? Because that's the only way we will win. And I believe it strongly because I believe in biblical principles. And they are tried and true principles that have always succeeded and will continue to succeed in the future. Now, what are we going to unite behind? Well, the principles in our party that stand for truth, sound reasoning, and in my opinion, and you're listening to my opinion now, the principles that the founding fathers used to begin our government in the forming documents of this great grand experiment that is being attacked just as focused as it could be attacked against to defeat it. And how are we going to stand against that onslaught to defeat the American principles and indeed the American society and culture and the principles upon which it's founded? We are going to win by being united behind our principles of righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? It's those same principles that the founding fathers used to form the documents. You can find those principles upon the prima facie evidence of the face of the documents that they published for the final form of our government. And you can see its substantiation and support in the writings that they have used before they formulated our great country and those personal letters or mementos or memos or things that they passed around among themselves to explain their thoughts upon what they based our great government. I'll be point blank with you. They based it on the founding principles of the Bible. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't have to be a Christian to agree with that. You don't even necessarily have to be a great avid Bible scholar or reader. But I think it's important to understand that these principles are sound, tried, and true, and they have been proven to be the principles that work and stand under attack. Most governments throughout history don't last much longer than 200 years. Why is that? Because they are attacked by those who are either jealous or don't like the principles upon which those governments have stood, and they want to defeat it. And they want to take it for themselves and have their own power and glory for themselves. It's deception. So, yes, it's an invasion of deception. Now, we can attest, many of us, that we have been invaded in the last 10 years, maybe 20, from without and from within, perhaps from those who've come from without to the within, to defeat us using principles of deception, to deceive us into thinking that we need to be something else than what we are. Don't fall for it. It's a trap of deception. And what are those principles we need to stand for? Well, the first thing is we need to stand for united we win. Divided, we lose, okay? The California Republican Party has many fissures and fractures within that are very deep and have grown over years and that were in place by the time I joined the party activists at the end of my teaching career and discovered what array the California Republican Party was in. And in fast descending decline. And no matter what I seemed to do, nothing worked because there was nothing that would work in a system that used the mantra, divide and conquer. It doesn't work. What does it do? It causes hurt, built upon hurt. People stepping on others, stepping upon their rights, stepping upon their personhood, stepping upon their beliefs, stepping upon who they are, and stepping upon their rights to participate in our government, because we are a government of, by, and for the people. And that is only the case when the people are involved in working in it, and when the structural leaders use the top-down model, which has been used at least since Reagan, I don't know, maybe before. I doubt it as much as in the last 20, 30 years. When you use a top-down model, it negates the people. It negates the 9th, 10th amendments of the Constitution. We need to look to the Constitution totally and how we are working within our party framework and how we are relating to one another within our party framework. Ask ourselves, is what we are doing for me to keep power and a peace in this kingdom, or is what we are doing a united purpose to win for the good of our country and for our kids and our grandkids? If it is not yes for the second one, we're in trouble. And honestly, I'm sorry, I believe we are in trouble. And if we don't do something to turn ourselves around, we will continue to lose. But the good news is, in the end, God wins. So, first of all, personally, this is not necessarily the party platform. I sure wish it were in there, but I don't have any control over that. I think we need to put God first. And until our party and the people of our country come back to God and renew their commitment to God and the godly principles, our party will continue to lose. When we allow within our party those principles of deceitfulness that seek to undermine the principles of the party platform that we know are based upon biblical tried and true principles, we lose. If we do nothing else, we need for our platforms to reflect the true values of the principles of the founding documents that our founding fathers gave us the responsibility to preserve and protect. That's our first responsibility. And if we are doing that, the rest will begin to fall in line. Now, I'm just talking right now because no one has called in yet. If I talk all night, that's fine. As you see, I've been a teacher and I can talk a long time. I was used to talking 20, 40 minutes a day, five times a day, all day long. So I have no problem doing that. However, most people would probably like to hear from you. So if you'd like to call in and you're at the convention especially, please call in to 1-877-497-9937. We would appreciate your input of what is happening at the convention. Now, how can we begin to renew, reinvigorate, and bring our party back together? Now, I know this may seem insignificant to you, but this is the reflection of our party. I would like you all to write down the reflection of our party in our state. Write down how many of the officials elected to Congress from California are Republican and how many are Democrat or independent or whatever. And then secondly, I'd like you to write down how many are men, how many are women, how many are from other various ethnic groups. Are we all white, or do we have black congressional leaders represented and elected? Do we have Hispanic? Do we have Pacific Islanders? Do we have Asian? Do we have some young people? Or do we have all old people who are 70 and over? Personally, I believe we need to cap the age that can be in Congress, and I would like 75. You know, there isn't any magic number. But that is one that, to me, seems workable. It's after the retirement age of society. In my profession, we are often booted out, in effect, at age 60, because they, for some misguided reason, don't think teachers can still be effective after age 60, when in reality it's because they cost too much. All right. I did the best job I ever did as a teacher over age 50, and I think I could have done that until age 70, barring any catastrophes in my life. And I think that gives a five-year cushion, if you say or speak, till people reach the age of about 75 or 76, somewhere in there. People need to cap out. If you're that age and you're in Congress, please retire. Please retire. You have done too much to store up your power. But, of course, that will only work if you all do it. If just the Republicans do it, then we understand the Democrats will have total power of everything, all the committees and everything. So, unfortunately, we can't do this ethically. We have to do it by laws and pass laws to make people do it. And that's the part that's too bad. That's a shame upon our society, that we cannot do things more ethically, that we have to be driven by laws and legislation. We are overly legislated. We have too many laws that people can't even possibly read or understand them all. And I look for the day when we begin to ream out those laws that are no longer relevant and that are indeed counterproductive to a healthy functioning of our society. How can we do that? Well, that's going to have to be down the road, because we have to get ourselves together first. So after we have made sure that the platform reflects the founding principles that the founders put upon and in within our founding documents, then we can begin to build upon that. That's a foundation. A foundation that a strong house can be built upon. And I do like those buildings built in Washington, D.C. That's just my personal preference. They are awe-inspiring to me, as long as we don't look upon them as an icon, as something that we worship, because we only worship God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I think it shows the respect that we have for the principles of God, godly principles, by the wonderful structures that we build in honor of those founding principles of God. And even if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, you will benefit by it, because the godly principles are inclusive of everyone. Even if you reject the godly principles, they include you in a good way, and you will benefit. You will benefit by living in a society where people follow godly principles. Why is that? Because goodness breeds goodness. Following the law breeds others who follow the law. When one person does good to another, that passes on down to another in the domino effect. And I believe it because I have seen it and I know it works. So we are looking for those who are ready to call in. I'm hoping you're not having any trouble. I will check my emails every so often to see if you're having any trouble calling in, because I know some people were going to call in. Again, the toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. And I will just take a short break, get myself a drink of water to make sure that all this keyboard is working. And we will be back in just a few minutes, and when we come back, I'm hoping that we have a caller or two. But believe me, if you don't call in, I will be here in one way or another, and I will chat with you when you can have an opportunity to get on. I know many of you are busy in your meetings tonight. Some of you are at the dinner, hearing speakers there, and it would only be those who are not at the dinner. And some of you are getting ready to go around to the parties in the scheduled functions about 9 o'clock. So we'll just have to see when people are ready to call in. And in about half an hour, we'll ask those who are not at the convention to start calling in. Let's listen to a song, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And we'll be talking some more about how we can unite and win for good. We'll be right back. This is Diane Lenning, your host.
y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Stein.
This is CRP Convention News. Your host is Diane Lenning, coming to you live from Southern California. We are putting out there for our convention attendees to call in and let us know what's happening at 1-877-497-9937. And as I was talking about a while ago, we are in a transition stage. And this is a time when we are going to redesign, I believe, a reflection, really, of who we are and who we want to be and where we want to go. And the mantra I'm putting forth and requesting that the party use, thank you, my honey, just brought me dinner. I've been all day and haven't eaten for 9-10 hours here, so I will break a little bit later and turn on the music and eat again. But I had a great, exciting day today. I graduated from law school, and we had wonderful graduation ceremonies with a very small graduating class and a caring faculty and a nice dinner at the Skirball Center in Los Angeles. And I'm ready to move forward in a new area of my life as a Republican and work in the legal arena. But I have to sit for the bar first in July. If I don't pass, I will just keep trying till I do, and that there are ways that I can work and help without having passed the bar, because with a law degree there are some things you can do. And I can always speak out and speak my opinion. And as an educator, I'm hoping to combine those two, and along with the Constitution, and help our party and our belief system to win in the forming of public opinion in the public arena. That is one of the places where the battle is to win. And I have perceived, with a first-hand view, that Republican leaders, and please take this gracefully, are not very good at that. And so some of us are trying behind the scenes to insert ourselves to help them. And believe it or not, I know you've been working like mad to change the perception that it's a man of old white party, but have you written your tally sheet yet? I think that will reflect when you look at all the California people who are elected to Congress from California. How many are Democrats? How many are Republicans? How many are women in the Democrat Party? How many are women in the Republican Party? How many are men in the Democrat Party? How many are men in the Republican Party? How many are Hispanic in the Democrat Party? How many are Hispanic in the Republican Party? So we have a caller, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm just going to bring you on. Oh, they hung up. They must not have the nerve of steel to face me. Oh, I'll be nice. I promise. Please call back. I won't ream you out. I will be nice. Everybody who's done an interview with me knows I'm nice, so please be nice. But just keep doing the tally there. How many in the Democrat Party are blacks who are elected? How many in the Republican Party who are elected are blacks? How many in the Democrat Party who are elected are Asians? How many in the Republican Party who are elected are Asians? See, there's the reflection. No matter what you say or do, there's the reflection. And it's not only in the elected office in Congress, it's the elected offices in city council, in school boards, in state boards, and appointments. Who do you appoint? When you have the opportunity to bring in minorities who are qualified, let's look for qualified people, do you appoint any of the other ones? Or do you just appoint what you are, an old white man? I'm sorry. Sometimes that's what it reflects, people. And we've got to be honest. We're losing. We need to assess. We need to be consistent, and we need to be objective. Okay, we have someone from 916, so hopefully you're someone from Sacramento at the convention, I'm hoping. And when you come on, callers, please say your first name. Don't say your last name unless you're a high-level priority leader who we all know, then please say your full name. And if you are running for office within the party, that's fine. You could speak about that. If we have lots of callers, I might give you less time. If no one's calling in, I might give you a lot of time. So let's see who our caller is. This is fun. Please say hello and your name, please.
Hey, Diane. It's Ron Givens in Sacramento.
Hi. Nice to hear from you, Ron. I happen to know Ron, people, so
yeah,
nice to
Diane.
Hear you.
It's I just saw your Facebook post, and I just got back from day two of the convention, so I thought I'd give you a call and let you know that there are times, there have been times when there has been some inspirational moments, but in all honesty, I think that the party leadership is facing the reality of where we are and knows that we have to change things in order to win anything in 2014. There's a very serious tone about it. It's not as a large a turnout as the previous conventions have been, but I expect that most people will end up leaving very motivated and re-energized to go back into our local areas and start registering voters again, getting our message out. I guess it boils down to this. You know, we have convictions and values that we know are right. We just have to be able to deliver them in places that we haven't touched in the past, historically. We've got to be courageous enough to go into communities that we're unfamiliar with, talk to cultures that we're unfamiliar with, And because they mostly share our values. It's just a matter of us reaching out and saying, we are interested in getting to know you, and here's what we are all about. And it doesn't have to be just about the party. It's just about building the relationships, and the rest just comes. I firmly believe, like a lot of people do, that we're all inherently good. We're creatures made by God himself, and that common morality is a little bit deeper than a lot of people give it credit for. So I'm actually hopeful, and I feel better. I'm exhausted, I'll tell you that, but I feel better after having spent the last couple of days talking with congressmen and state senators and state assemblymen, listening to Karl Rove for a bit today and an opportunity to talk with him for a minute. There are some people out there that still really care and are dedicated to this for all of the right reasons.
Well, that is very encouraging to hear, and I don't know how many people know this, but I spent my whole career educating minorities, so I can give a lot of helpful input, even though I have a little bit of Indian in me, but I'm not what most people would think of as a minority, and most of us who've been here any length of generations have some Indian in us. But most minorities have felt a little bit of lack of acceptance, a little bit of judgmentalism, and not including them within our circle of friends and events and community activities.
And it's their own fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And could you address or tell us a little bit about what they were talking about today in order to solve that problem?
Well, I think instead of talk, what I observed was really action. There was a much more diverse crowd in attendance this weekend so far than there ever has been. Now, that could have something to do with just a smaller turnout and the opportunity for, you know, more people to show up from other communities that were, you know, maybe booked out of the hotel or something like that before. Or it could be a sign of real growth in the party at the grassroots level into these communities that we were talking about. You know, people have been talking about the vice chair race and, you know, however that comes out tomorrow, there could be some diversity there. There is a candidate pool in Orange County that's getting ready to run for both of the seats we lost down there in this last election. So the Senate election is going to be run by Young Kim, and she has been working for Congressman Royce for 20 years as his chief of staff. And I didn't know this, but there's a section of Orange County that has the largest concentration of Vietnamese and Asian people in the United States of America.
Well, and that's where I live and taught and work.
Oh, amazing.
I know.
See,
and I've worked in that community.
Well, so you probably know Young Kim, and then Janet
Not personally,
Nguyen.
But of her.
Okay, so she's going to be running for assembly. And Janet Nguyen is going to be running for the assembly seat that we lost when Norby lost.
Now, Janet Nguyen, I know. And,
yeah,
and
she's a supervisor.
They actually say Nguyen usually. Janet
Oh,
Nguyen.
Excuse me then.
Yeah.
See,
but
and that's something I have to learn.
Yeah, phonetically it's Nguyen, but they say Nguyen usually.
Okay. Well, thank you for that correction. I'll try not to make that mistake again. And that's, you know, those are things that we need to learn and know.
Right.
Because frankly, when I grew up and saw that name spelling on the East Coast, it was Nguyen.
Yeah.
And it's been changed as I've learned and grown and getting to know people. So thank you for correcting me on that again. But I think that we're going to see a diversity in leadership after all is said and done tomorrow that will make the party's face completely change. It's not just a bunch of old white guys and old blue-haired people in the room anymore. And I mean that with all due respect to our elderly statespeople who have fought in the trenches for so long.
Yes, they have, and we appreciate them.
And we love them, and we do appreciate them. And I know that things have been very frustrating for a lot of them who care so much about the values that we do.
Yes.
But they also are starting to recognize that there are some realities that are unchangeable in America, and that is there has been a diversity of people coming in from different parts of the world. Now, I don't consider multiculturalism a good thing. I consider that a bad thing. I consider being American a fantastic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we teach people that come here wanting to be Americans to begin with, that it is still possible, then that is going to be what inspires them to join us, instead of allowing the media to drive a wrong debate and push immigration as a total negative on the Republican and conservative side of the aisle. We've got to be able to convince those that are coming here from places that are just destitute that the American dream exists, and they don't have to be sucked into being enslaved by government entitlements just to be part of the political machine of the left.
Well, I think, number one, the party could improve on how they respond to these pre-planned agenda items that the Democrats try to entrap them in. They need to learn how to get a little better at that aspect of it. Now, Ron, do you happen to have time to stay in? I have another caller.
Sure.
And you are very good, and just tell a minute which part of the party and what position you hold so people know.
Well, I've got a little bit of everything going on right now. I'm on the state board of the CRA, California Republican Assembly. I'm on the state board of Conservative Republicans of California. I'm the second term president of Sacramento Republican Assembly, and then the sergeant at arms for the Sacramento County Central Committee. And
so you will be a very good spokesman to help me with responding and talking with other people. So
well,
let's
I'll
bring
try
in
my
the,
best.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's bring in the person from area code 650. And if you are a recognizable figure, please say your whole name, otherwise just your first name. Hello, caller from 650.
Hi, this is Debbie Bacigalupi. I ran for U.S. House of Representatives in California's 14th district against Jackie Speier this last election, and we reached over Republican voter registration by 4%, which we were very excited about in a very liberal district. And I just left the convention not too long ago, and I saw your Facebook post, and I wanted to respond by saying I was just in the board meeting and going over some of their, just as a guest, and one of the topics that was going to be discussed was a resolution against United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, which I was thrilled to hear about, so I went and sat in on the meeting, and I told them that I called myself out of order several times to respond to the meeting, and unfortunately a resolution was not passed. There were some typos, ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives acronym was incorrect, and we would have looked bad as a party if the resolution had gone out. And some people haven't been paying attention to Agenda 21 on the board, even though they were on the committee. So what they decided to do was go back, and within the month, they were going to push it off to October, and I told them we do not have time to wait anymore on this. It has to go through. I shared with them that Yosemite right now, there's public comment, and I found this out at the convention. There's public comment right now until April 17th, for five alternatives for Yosemite, one of them being no humans allowed in Yosemite.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I spent my whole childhood growing up there on vacation.
It's incredible. But this is, so there's my understanding is there is a document that month in order to respond to the alternatives that they're giving Yosemite. Some of the other things that I heard today about Yosemite is they want another alternative would be no more horse trails, no more horse stalls, no more parking lots. The only way you can get into Yosemite is via bus, public transportation, so cars won't be allowed in. And I'm sure that this is, you know, it sounds very blanket, but I'm sure there's, you know, variations on a theme here, but we know eventually it is an encroachment. It's United Nations Agenda 21. It's sustainable development. It is human beings out of the rural land. The other thing
now,
that's
I'm
going
from,
on,
I'm from Southern yes. California. Would you do me a favor and spell your name for me and the listeners so we can know exactly who you are and maybe they'll want to contact you?
Okay. My name is Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E.
Okay.
And my last name is Bacigalupi, B-A-C-I-G-A-L-U-P-I. And my email is ebacigalupi@gmail.com. So first initial, last name, @gmail.com. And my
great. And do you happen to have, well, you want to give a phone number too, but also while you're going there, give us any contact information you might have about Yosemite.
I just looked up the, you can look up, oh gosh, it's a National Park Service. Someone can type in these words, these search terms, NPS or National Park Service, .gov, I think it is, and it's Yose, Y-O-S-E. And you'll, and how I found it as I was sitting in the delegates meeting, the new delegates meeting, which I also wanted to talk about, to share what happened there. While I was sitting there searching, because I just found out about it right before 2 o'clock, which is the delegate meeting at 2 o'clock. And so I had search terms 2013 public comment, Yosemite, National Park Service, and you should be able to find it. And there
okay.
are, which, this is great, if your listeners go, they can find out dates of presentations being held all over California, because this is going to impact all Californians. So I know at the end of March, there's one in Los Angeles, and there's one in San Francisco, I think March 26th, something like that. And we need the public to show up, because they are closing down public roads. My parents are cattle ranchers. There are, you know, all these regulations. It's removal of Klamath River Dams. This is the largest dam removal project in history. Will impact all Californians. They want to release, they being the California Fish and Wildlife, their new name, wants to release 465 Canadian gray wolves. They call it reintroduction. It's introduction of Canadian gray wolves into California. They're saying that 465 Canadian gray wolves, Siskiyou County alone can handle 465 Canadian gray wolves. They just showed they're about ready to shut down the Drake's Bay Oyster Farm. They gave them a stay, a motion of stay. So, and I was just out there yesterday before coming to the convention. So there's all these issues on our rural land, and then we've got regional housing needs allocation that are going on in like the Bay Area and San Diego, and where there's mega regions, which is moving us into what are called regions or regionalism. And San Francisco is going to be the pilot program for a city state, and they've already announced a city state. And there's only 3 city states supposedly in the world, and they're all United Nations cities at the United Nations table, and it's Monaco, the Vatican, and Singapore. And Californians, you know, most of the people, that should have been the conversation today. That should have been on everyone's tongue, the tip of everyone's tongue, because that's our private property rights. And our thoughts and our feelings and our religion, those are our private property. And once they take our private property rights, we lose our individualism, we lose our natural rights. And
well, I have a question for you about each one. Regarding the Klamath River Dam closures, you talked about it being an impact on all Californians, and you said some things, but tell us what the projected impact may be in regards to water to our homes, food supply.
Sure.
How is that going to restructure the physical characteristics of our land in California as far as ownership?
Absolutely.
And,
Yeah, it's scary. There is an agenda to control all water. March 22nd, the United Nations declared World Water Day, according to the United Nations and climate change activists, people who are pro-climate change and pro-global warming. I call them anti-human. They are saying that we are running out of fresh water. And if that's the case, then why is there an agenda by our Department of the Interior, Bruce Babbitt, the former Secretary of the Interior, and now Ken Salazar, to remove as many as 75,000 dams? And this is a quote, and anyone could look up American Rivers and see that this is what Bruce Babbitt said, 75,000 dams across the United States removed. So if we're running out of water, we need water, we're going through drought, why would we remove dams? We need more stored water, not less. We need more hydroelectric energy, cheap, clean, green energy, not less. So Klamath River Dams is a 10-year secret meeting project, meaning stakeholders, people who claim that they were stakeholders, from Washington, D.C. to Portland, Oregon to San Francisco, decided that they would be the stakeholders on the Klamath River Dams, which is in northern, far northern California. Southern California gets some of its water from the Trinity River. The Trinity River is a tributary off the Klamath River. They're basing, and any time, if I'm talking too much, jump in and just say, hey, stop.
Well, I have a question I'd like to ask you there.
Sure.
It seems to me, upon the face, in observing this, that some, whoever this group is, you say the UN, which I know I've read about that, is attacking the area with the least amount of people, where the great metropolis of the population will be unaware, and they will hear it, and it won't sound like any big deal to them, because they don't understand it.
Exactly.
How can we counter that?
Look at what happened to the Delta. You know, even Fox News didn't cover the Delta story, and farmers and ranchers and business owners were screaming for trying to get people to understand what was happening in the Delta over the Delta smelt. And the Delta smelt, it's a little tiny fish about the size of your pinky and tastes like anchovies, I'm told, has been truck and hauled, meaning they would put those fish, when they found them, and Department of Fish and Game, now they're Fish and Wildlife, admitted this. They would, when they found a smelt in the canal, in the Delta Canal, they would capture it, put it in a truck, and haul it up to a high storage lake. So my understanding is those fish are doing fine. But they use that fish in order to shut down the water. So they put
I'm going to give you all a challenge up in Northern California. For one or two people to start a blog talk radio program about what's happening in your area and educate everybody about what's happening. Because as an educator for over 30 years working in a Democrat-controlled political environment, I am aware of and observed it because I was an elected member to the boards that they purposely denied both sides of issues regarding information. And this is one of the big areas in which we can fight back and be good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly agree with you about starting our blog talk radio stations, and it needs to be across the United States and across the state of California, because without controlling our own source of media, we can't win. We've got to be able to share these facts and these truths in a way that is evidence-based and not feelings-based like the mainstream media. And, you know, when the best we have is Fox News, we're in trouble. That's the simple fact. I mean, when the best we have is a moderate, sometimes very inadequate news station like Fox, or network like Fox, we are in deep trouble. And Diana, I really appreciate the fact that you are doing these radio blog shows. I would love to do one. I think I'm a little technology challenged in that. Maybe one of these days we could have
you all.
Well,
anybody who wants to do it, it's really easy.
Well, I'll take you up on that offer of help, and I will commit to doing one here
good.
In Sacramento, because it is important, and I want people to have voices. I don't want to disclude anyone. I really think it's time that instead of contracting and I don't know, digging in isn't the right word, but instead of contracting inside our party at this point, we need to reach out. We
exactly.
need to continue to reach out into places, and Klamath Falls is another perfect example. I love that area. It's beautiful. But because I have so many things to fight for right here in Sacramento, I can't reach up there. You know, it's just impossible. It's out of my realm. It's out of my own Jerusalem, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to educate the folks up there on how to do this themselves as well and share it. I mean, once you have these, it's my understanding, and correct me if you're wrong, but once these Blog Talk shows are on, aren't they available to re-listen to at some point?
Yes, they are archived 24/7, and you can go in as a radio commentator and post them anytime you want. You can send them around in emails.
Uh-huh.
I have a 5,000 listener audience in Asia and Africa
that
I've developed in less than a year.
That's fantastic.
So if you are focusing in your area and you are reaching out to all your friends on Facebook that you know in your area, it will grow and develop. And if you're consistent and have your show, let's say, once a week.
Yeah.
Most of us can't do it every night. I do it twice a week because I'm retired and sometimes on Sunday night. But if you're consistent and you post and then you repost it and maybe let people who have agreed with you to let you post it on their wall, it's a great mechanism to get our information out.
That's fantastic, and I really appreciate the help in getting that started here. It's something that once I learn it, I promise to pass it on and help train others to do that as well.
Well, let me just give a little short explanation of how to do it for the listeners. Anybody who wants to start a radio show, Blog Talk Radio is not the only one, but it happens to be the one I like, and it works very well. So you go to www.blogtalkradio.com, and you sign on. You say, I want to start a radio show. And they give you all the information and the lessons how to start a radio show. And what I do is every week, say half an hour before my airtime, I've scheduled ahead of time for however long I want for a certain time slot each week. You can do that. You can do it one at a time or weekly or daily. And I schedule that ahead of time. And then if I get a chance, I do post it on Facebook before. But don't worry, if you can't do that, as soon as your show starts, you have opportunity to post, hey, I'm on the air on Twitter, Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio. So it goes out from your radio board that I'm viewing right now. I'm still learning. You can increase and get more callers and deal with more callers. And there are a lot of mechanisms to enhance it. You can have a toll-free number, which helps people. But if you are just working in your area, you may not need to pay for that little extra. That cost me about $35 a month for the toll-free number. And it varies. And then you have a yearly fee, which is under $500. So it's a reasonably inexpensive program. So I don't seek any sponsors because I want all airtime. I want people to be on the radio. So there's my explanation of how to do it. And then I'd like to ask Debbie, and I'll just give my email if you want info, diane@lenning.com if you want a question answered. Just make it short, easy ones for me because I'll try to give two or three sentences back. But Debbie, you mentioned regionalism and you mentioned San Francisco as a city-state. Now, as a teacher, I taught history, and they had city-states way back in the Roman times. This is like the rejuvenating old history, like with the Ottoman Empire that our country was just instrumental in resurrecting. But tell us about regionalism. Try to keep it, you know, maybe 2 to 3 minutes, and then about
sure.
the San Francisco city-state.
Sure.
Thank you.
First of all, before I forget, if someone wants to verify what I'm about to ready to say, you can go to Joint Venture Silicon Valley and look up, and I'm not sure exactly where it is. I took some video on my Facebook, so if someone wants to go to my Facebook, I think, Diane, you and I are linked up. At least I've been responding to your Facebook post in the California Republican Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
But and also the Klamath River videos are on there. The Drake Say video that Americans for Prosperity just did are on there. People should watch these videos because dam removals are happening all in your area too. In your area, there's some creek restoration or something that's going on. It's all part of the big plan of rewilding America. So with the city states, Joint Venture Silicon Valley, along with Association of Bay Area Government, you have your own COG, Council of Governments in your own area. I think it's called SOCOG in Southern California. There's also SCOG and SCAG and some other Council of Governments. And what these groups are doing, they're unelected, but self-appointed boards in our area, in the Bay Area, it's ABAG, Association of Bay Area Governments, along with the MTC, Metro Transportation Commission. And what they're creating is a region of 9 Bay Area counties, which is what the Bay Area is, and 101 cities. And what regionalism is and city-state is, one voice, one language. This is the definition, one religion. It's one. There's one governance. There are no local governance. So
now, is the religion liberalism?
I'm not sure. Here's the other thing that's happening. Schools are endorsing the United Nations Earth Charter. Now, why is that important? Because the United Nations Earth Charter, which is one of 3 documents that the United Nations Agenda 21 blueprint for all of us to live by, the United Nations Earth Charter they would like it to replace the 10 Commandments. And the 10 Commandments are about God. And my school, my alma mater, I got my master's from Notre Dame de Namur, which is in Belmont, California, in the Bay Area, just had last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember last week, a woman named Mary Evelyn Tucker, PhD from Yale. She's a Yale professor, and she teaches religion and environmentalism, and she helped draft the preamble of the United Nations Earth Charter back in 1992. She was, and I have this on video too as well. I'm going to release a video pretty soon on Facebook. But during this presentation that she gave, about 70 people from the community, including college students, innocent college students who have no idea what these people are up to, she urged the community to endorse the United Nations Earth Charter. Irresponsibly, and I think criminally, not telling these people and these students who have no idea that the United Nations does not believe in private property rights. In fact, they think private property rights, as you know, they think private property rights are discrimination. They're discriminatory. It's social inequity. It's environmental injustice. That private
social
property.
They're all about social justice.
They can start making my mortgage payment if they like.
Communitarianism. It's communitarianism where the common good, and Mary Evelyn Tucker even mentioned communitarianism, where the individual comes last. It's all about we all must sacrifice for the greater good. But we know what makes America exceptional, which is our private properties, our right to make a living, our right in the pursuit of private property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of private property.
May I just interject a second there, Debbie? I have seen this tactic before. What they are doing is trying to build a stronghold in an area and then move out with it.
Yes.
Get their army built and then move out and overtake us all ideologically without firing a shot. Okay, go ahead.
That's liberalism to the definition right there. And we have got to be able to respond to it effectively. You know, I don't want anybody to misinterpret this, but our forefathers, they blew people's heads off over their morning tea being taxed, okay? How much more are we supposed to take as patriotic Americans before things get out of hand? And you know, I've had this feeling recently that we're at a tipping point here in California, that it would only take something relatively minor to set off something relatively major. And I am not advocating for that. The whole thought of it scares me. It worries me for the safety of everyone around, including myself and my family. But if we don't address those things in an urgent way and combat liberalism to the liberal constituency that doesn't understand what liberalism means, which is a very frustrating thing for me, especially for the older folks that call themselves liberals who still think they're living in the 1960s and it's all about peace and love and freedom and let's get high and blah, 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 blah. They don't understand. They literally do not understand that liberalism is a system of evil dysfunction, period.
Taking over our government. You know, this is exactly what the Marxist regime would like us to do, is to revolt and have violence, because that's when they can overcome us and overpower us.
And have another excuse to take away our guns and our Second Amendment.
And our rights.
They're waiting. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. waiting with bated breath for mm-hmm. some tragedy to happen. With probably some redneck, like, you know, and I consider myself a redneck, some redneck going, you know, postal or whatever, and trying to protect their private property rights and killing someone. I know they're trying to push people to the limit, to where we've just had enough, and like you're saying, Ron, something happens, and they're going to exploit it. They are going to use it to take away our guns, and under totalitarianism, and this has happened in the past, one of the last straws, so what they started to do, and this is in Nazi Germany too, they started creating laws around animals and how you couldn't do certain things to animals, and then they took away the guns, and then is my understanding, I haven't vetted this for myself, but this is what I've heard, and then all of a sudden you have this takeover of people and you have this destruction of mass amounts of people. And I know so many people from like Cuba who are Cuban refugees, people from Romania, who, you know, risked their life to get here. I was just talking to a guy in Costco parking lot just half hour ago from Mexico getting his degree in applied materials or something like that. And he was telling me with a heavy Mexican accent how he's lived here all his life and he doesn't understand how people, friends of his, don't understand how great America is and that we're losing it and that it's getting too big of government. So people who have experienced communism are saying, wake up, America. You have no idea what is right in front of you and what you're about to lose. And once you lose it, you will never get it back.
And it can be a strength of our party to have those kinds of individuals as some of our leaders, not necessarily
Absolutely.
All of them, but as some to be a voice to explain that, because we don't have much credibility with that, having been born and raised here. We haven't experienced that.
Right.
You're
and, you know, that's
right.
Something, Ron, you said that, you know, I heard you mention the diversity at the convention and that there were new faces. I did see that, but also I saw the same old rigmarole, which was, we have the establishment, the big money, the power money within the Republican Party, and I'm not obviously going to name names, but pushing their candidate, which to me is the status quo. I want something new. We need to shake up our party, and I'm not seeing that happen. I'm just not seeing that happen. I'm seeing and there were. There were meetings, and people complained about this today, where whoever was at the mic, you know, conducting the meeting, like the delegate, the new delegates meeting that I was in. I'm driving. There was something like a mattress in the road.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hands-free, right?
Yeah. And there was, so in the new delegate meeting, we haven't even voted on the chair yet. That's supposed to happen tomorrow. And there was already an announcement that Brulte, so when Brulte as chair will do this for you. Well, there's Miller, too. He's running also. So how dare our leaders already claim a winner when the vote hasn't even happened? And people experienced this in Tampa, too. I was, unfortunately, on one of the buses from California where votes were happening about Ron Paul, and we were stuck on three California buses were stuck for 20 minutes right in front of the entry to the convention, the Tampa convention, and we couldn't get off the bus for 20 minutes. And there were no buses in front of us. The parking, there wasn't any safety issues or anything. And people were yelling on these buses saying, why aren't you letting us off? So even within our own party, unfortunately, there is foolery happening. And someone said today also in one of their campaign, their candidate speeches, is it doesn't matter what kind of Republican you are, we need to be sticking up for Republicans. No. Why we are where we are is because we had Republicans lose their way, and we need to get back to the conservative, the Constitution, the constitutional Republicans that made, you know, that abolished slavery.
Amen.
Debbie, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because before you two came on, I spent 10 to 15 minutes talking about that. So when you get off and re-listen to that, hear what I said the first 15 minutes is going to blow your socks off. Okay, Ron?
Yeah, I think middle America is a new slave class. I'll speak for myself in this. My wife and I have been married for 23 years. We have two young sons. We have a first mortgage. We have no car payments. We make a pretty good living. And there's nothing left over at the end of the month because we refuse to send our children to public school, so we send them to Capital Christian School. It's not an overly expensive school, but, you know, it costs a little bit of money. But we are literally enslaved by the home that we own, that the bank owns us about. You know, these are all things that are kind of new realities, because income was a little bit better when economic times were a little bit better. And the facts, you know, some of the things that were said about the economic numbers and some of the things that are driving the recovery that we're in at 1.9% a year since 2007, I'm still not convinced that that is completely accurate, but that was a number mentioned by Karl Rove today.
Explain that a little more.
Well, Karl made the statement that the country is in a very limited recovery, and he said that recovery equals to 1.9% each year over the last few since 2007. I don't see that in my world, so it's difficult for me to look out beyond this. And I think that's okay, because I used to look at much bigger pictures and what was going on around the country. This last election cycle made me realize that we can't do that anymore, especially those of us here in California and other states that are really liberal-leaning. We have got to focus all of our attention on our local areas. We've got to recruit candidates for every local office, from dog catcher to whatever. And we can never, ever let a liberal candidate run unopposed for anything. This top two election system that we have now is another liberally designed mechanism to help exclude those of us who work. And in other conversations that came out, that, and there's going to be people offended by this, but it is just truth. You know, there really is a physical and psychological and maybe even a genetic difference between those who think in the liberal realm and those who think in the conservative realm. And I'm going to justify this in a couple different ways. The statement's big. I understand that.
Yes.
Conservatives, we work hard. I mean, we really do. We work really, really hard at what we are going after, when we're committed to something, whether it's our business, our job, our family, our churches, we go at it and we go at it 110%. Okay.
We even make it look easy, though.
No, we don't. We don't make it. It's not easy. There's nothing easy about it.
No, we make it look easy, I think, because we're good at it.
You know, maybe that's true. Maybe there is a perception that it looks easy for us. But
that's what I found in working with minorities.
I got you. Okay, well, that makes sense. But we know for a fact that it's not. So that perception that it makes, that we make it look easy, and us knowing that it's not, helps drive the wedge between the takers and the havers, to use those common things. You know, as we work hard, we become, and this is not necessarily a good thing, but we do become a little more attached to the things that we earn and buy through the businesses that we create.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes us a little bit jealous about those things. Okay, like I said, it's not necessarily a great thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But the antithesis of that is the liberal train of thought, where the undereducated and completely uneducated voting public is so convinced that they are entitled to the things that they are getting in ever-increasing measure at the expense of the hardworking people across America, that we begin to resent it in a way that may not be the healthiest way to react. I think it's exactly those kinds of feelings and those kinds of dynamics that we've got to find a way as a conservative movement to overcome. We've got to be able to look past ourselves a little bit more than we have been doing as a party, and I'll take personal responsibility for that as well. We get busy. We're volunteers in this thing in politics. It's the way it is. I wish there was a way for us to all get paid for the efforts that we put into this. And once I figure that out, I'll let everybody know. But there is opportunities for us to examine ourselves right now, and we've got about 3 months to do that. If we don't get it done in 3 months and figure out how we're going to attack 2014, then we've already lost. We don't have any time to waste. We've got to sit down. And what I would recommend is that, and I hate to jump on this word regionalism, and I understand the dangers of that. The Sacramento Area Council of Government scares the living bejesus out of me. But it would not be a bad idea for everyone, all of the leaders in the various regions of California, to have a regional conservative leaders roundtable in the next 30 days. So everybody in the Sacramento vicinity, everybody in the Stockton area, everybody in Orange County, all the clubs, all the leaders of the clubs, and everybody else who wants to come, get together and say, look, here's where we were. Here's where we are. Here's where we want to go. Let's have an open and honest discussion about how we get there. Everybody focus on your areas. And once we figure out which area is doing the best at it, we start emulating that again.
Well, Ron, one thing I would like to interject here, and it's my experience having taught so many years with minorities, and it worked. It was my method in working with minorities. When they came in, I had a high percentage of immigrants who were undocumented. They were illegal. I'm sorry if that hurts people's feelings, but they were undocumented. But we couldn't ask, and I loved them and educated them like anyone else. And what I found was some came with a built-in resentment of America. We saw flags of other countries at the lunchtime, so we knew we had about 10 years to bring these kids into America with us, and we worked very hard. And what I found was, and I kept telling them about my life, what I did, that my husband and I got married and no one gave us a nickel. We had a wedding and a few gifts, but we worked hard and we earned it. And they always thought that, oh, I'm rich and we just had everything handed to us. That's not true. When I grew up here in California, everybody worked hard. You didn't get a big estate handed down from the generation before you. You started new. And I told them how to do it. And I said, you start with a good education. Your diploma from high school is your ticket to life. And many of them were the first ones in their family ever to have a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And then we followed up on them and kept saying, and I had kids who I caught smoking marijuana in my class, and we dealt with that, and he ended up with a good job, and I saw him later in society in the store or the business or whatever it was. I went to Chalk and saw one of our girls at the hostess desk at Chalk Hospital, which is a regional hospital for children in Orange County. These kids understand it, and here's the big ticker, clicker, whatever it is. These kids, when they come in with their check, and they go, Mrs. Lenning, I worked with 9th through 12th graders. Mrs. Lenning, what's all this money going out of my check? That's when you have the opportunity to explain to them. That's what's paying for the Medicaid that the people have here. Most of my kids had Medicaid cards. That's what's paying for your health care, you know, your welfare, all the SSI, all the aid to dependent children. They have all these benefits they're getting, and I said, they're taking it out of your check. You and I are the ones they're paying for it. I said, you know, because my husband happens to do well, 50% of our money goes to those things. Unfortunately, you know, we have enough to live on, but you know what? I had to work in order for my husband's business to make it.
Yes, ma'am.
I paid for the house payments, the medical insurance, the dental bills, the upkeep of our car, and then my husband paid for the other parts of it in order to grow a business. And the government did not help us. The government took from us. He had to pay two times the amount for his Social Security benefit than other people do. These are the harsh realities that don't know or understand. They just think that Obama's given them this money. I hate to break it to you people. It's your next door neighbors or the people in the next community who are paying for that. Okay, I got done with that. Follow up on that, Ron, or somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am. I've got to be back at the convention tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start winding down here a little bit, Diane. But I want to thank you so much for what you do. And keep running those Bay Area campaigns over there, okay? We need that going on, and I'm looking forward to learning from you a little bit about how to get this Blog Talk Radio thing going. I'll talk to you about that later this week, and if you have any questions about what goes on tomorrow, check me out on Facebook, Ron Givens 1. And Twitter, the Ron Givens, and I will gladly answer any questions I can. I had some conversations with a couple of congressmen and state senators and assemblymen today. I will just finish up with this one thing. I talked with Doug Lamoff about a week or so ago. I asked him directly to inquire about where the Benghazi survivors are. So he did, and he went to the House Oversight Committee and asked Daryl Issa to find out. And the answer he was given was that the House Oversight Committee has been asking the State Department since October for information, and the State Department has refused to comply. So it does look like there are some subpoenas that are going to be coming down soon. I fear that these survivors are being held somewhere against their will. Of course, to cover up another one of Obama's international failures, his administration's complete ineptness in this area. I'm just hoping that they're safe for now and still alive at this point.
Hope if they end up dead that our Congress follows up and finds out who did it. I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
We have to.
We have to follow through.
Yes, we do. And we have to pray. We have to pray for the people on the left. We have to pray for the people on the right. We have to pray for the establishment. We have to pray for the anti-establishment. We've got to pray. We don't do it enough as America. You know, when tragedy strikes this country in a massive single incident event, we pray for a little while and everything gets better and then we go on about our business. That's not working. America needs to demand that their pastors stay biblical and that they hold themselves accountable to their prayer lives, because without getting God involved, we're not going to get anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and I will talk to you very soon, Diane.
Thank you so much for being on, and maybe Debbie can stay on and talk a little bit more. Thank
you. It was
you.
Wonderful to hear
talk
from you, Debbie.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Ron, thanks. Ron?
Yes.
Did he hang up already? I would say I like your idea about bringing all the leaders together. You said region. And because they are the left, which the left do so greatly, steal really good words like conservation and progress and forward, I would say that's a great idea and call it something else other than region or regional, because when that's a great idea, and when people hear that great idea, then they assume that regionalism is like your great idea.
So anyway,
we're going to have to come up with, you know, use their own terms against them, like sustainable development, and that this isn't anyway, and be wittier about their terminology, because we know through language is what communication is, and people just aren't doing the research to find out what the true definition are, unfortunately. Like
you just
say,
inspired me. You just inspired me.
I think we
me.
Should stick with our terms we already use.
Here we go.
Northern,
you ready for this?
Central, Southern,
yeah.
And County.
Here we go. We're going to call our meetings climate change meetings.
Changing the climate.
We have got to change
great.
The climate, and we are going to hijack that word and that terminology from those people.
Beautiful.
That is
that's
exactly
beautiful.
What we need to do, and you inspired me, Debbie, so thank you so much.
Well, I hijacked free choice for education
nice.
In my campaign.
Nice.
Free choice. I
climate
brought it.
Change meetings begin next month.
Yes.
And that will draw in everybody.
That's
we'll hope
great.
To see
yes.
that happen. Thank you, Rod, so much.
God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good day tomorrow. God bless. Okay, Debbie, you have your opportunity. You're the only one left here with me.
How long do you have? How long do we
I
have?
I said I'd stay on another half an hour until 10 p.m.
Okay, well, I may lose you because I'm going to be, and I'm not sure, I may not, but I'm going to be heading over Lake Shasta pretty soon, and I know I sometimes lose my cell phone service, but that's probably not for another 15 minutes, so.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's
I'll
great.
Stay with you as long as I can.
Okay. Well, do you have a new topic or do you want to renew one of the ones you already shared?
Well, there a couple things came up when I heard you and Ron talking about various topics. Just to finish about the different things that are going on around California, besides the wolf reintroduction, and that's not just happening in Siskiyou County. It's also happening in Amador County. There's been talks about Calaveras County, some other counties, with trying to include the Canadian gray wolf into a protection, the Endangered Species Act, or at least the threatened species, and which is dangerous. And it will impact everyone, because who's going to let their children go when you're camping, if you still get to camp? You're not going to let your children out of sight. You're not going to let your dogs out of sight. There's a great movie called Crying Wolf movie. It's on Vimeo, and it's done by J.D. King, and I recommend everyone watch this film. It is extraordinary. These Canadian gray wolves are disease-carrying killing machines. And they can travel many miles per day. They don't need to travel in a pack. They're often lone wolves, and they will mate with dogs. And they are not nice pets, and they were eradicated in areas because human beings at the top of the food chain, unless we don't have our guns, then our ability to protect ourselves obviously changes. But these wolves have decimated the elk herds in Yosemite, the deer herds in Yosemite, and yet the public doesn't hear about that. So watch Crying Wolf movie, extraordinary documentary. Katie King is working on the next one, which is called Axed, A-X-E-D, The End of Green. And he is, this documentary, he's filming right now. He was just in Siskiyou County. This documentary is to expose the green movement and how they're using radical environmentalism to take over America.
Exactly. That's the point I wanted to make. They are using radical environmentalism to drive their agenda to take down America and change our form of government. It's a bloodless coup.
Yes. Yeah, and what I tell my parents who are cattle ranchers in Siskiyou County is, and they know this is happening. In fact, we found out about United Nations Agenda 21 because we couldn't figure out why our own government, which we pay to protect and serve us, would use false science, would use manipulated science, would lie, would give false information to the public. For example, here's an example. Behind these four hydroelectric clean green energy dams, which are owned by Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, Pacific Core,
I didn't know that.
Behind these four dams, by the way, they're in perfect condition. Some of them have come up for their 50-year relicensing, which environmental groups like the Sierra Club, Patagonia, Prana, these clothing stores, REI, are on a campaign to remove dams. They want them rewild. They want them to run as they once believed they ran. And they're going to find an endangered species. They're going to find a fish that can't swim up the stream as it used to, or the river. Now, here's where the junk science starts coming in. Behind the Klamath River dams, which have been there from 50 to 100 years, there's four, even though there's more than that, there's four that they wanted, that they, the government and these radical environmental groups, Nature Conservancy, Audubon, they're all part of this big plan to rewild America. Behind these dams is 20 million cubic yards of sediment, toxins, sludge. It's like 12,500 miles around the earth. So imagine 12,500 miles of sludge. So they want to breach these dams, send the sludge 187 miles out to the ocean. So the very same coho salmon that they claim is native, and there is no evidence that that fish is native to the Klamath River. And by the way, this is happening everywhere. They're going to pick Delta smelt something. They'll pick something. The very same fish they claim they are trying to save will be wiped out as the sludge makes its way 187 miles out to sea.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
And the coho salmon is a stream bed coastal fish. It prefers the cool waters within 30 miles of the ocean. And they don't, something that we've discovered recently in the junk science of our Department of Interior and NOAA and National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, National Marine Fisheries, which is NMFS, our own California Department of Fish and Wildlife, like U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We see a theme going on across the United States to a oneness. So they're using junk manipulated science to push these agendas through. And we have whistleblowers like Dr. Paul Hauser from George Mason University, who was hired by our own Department of Interior as a, under the Bureau of Land Management, I believe he was under BLM, as the integrity scientist for Klamath River Dam Project. And what Paul Hauser came forward and said on a memo that was going to be released by Secretary Ken Salazar. He was going to release a memo, I think it was going to be in October of last year, saying the dams are coming out because the numbers that they're predicting state that those dams have to come out because we need, the fish are in decline, the water quality is poor, blah, blah, blah. Paul Hauser came forward and said, this doesn't make sense. How can you predict numbers like that, like an odd number? He said it's impossible. So he questioned the Department of Interior and said, I can't, and he went to his boss, who's Kira Finkler. Kira Finkler used to be an attorney for Trout Unlimited. Trout Unlimited was one of the stakeholders under these agreements to take these dams out, a secret stakeholder. The county in which three of these dams reside, Siskiyou County, wasn't even a part of these 10-year-long secret meetings. And Trout Unlimited was, however, and our California's Department of Fish and Wildlife director is Chuck Bonham, and Chuck Bonham worked for Peace Corps, and then he worked for Trout Unlimited. So, and Trout Unlimited wants dams removed all across the United States. They're on an agenda to remove dams. Now, why would you remove dams? And you asked earlier, how would that hurt everybody? Not only does it, so it hurts, you guys get, in Southern California, you get water from the Trinity River. It's a tributary, and it goes straight down, and that's, you're a water user. If you flush the toilet, you're a water user. If you drink water, you're a water user. If you garden, or if you, you know, water your garden or whatever, you're a water user. So they're trying to say that water users, irrigators, are destroying the environment, like farmers and ranchers. And what they want us to do, instead of doing flood irrigation, which recharges the aquifer, so the water seeps in the ground, the roots want to follow the water down deep into the ground, so it's good for stock, it's good for crops. And what they want us to move to is sprinklering. So sprinklering, the water is thrown in the air, and you lose like 30% to trans-evaporation. So
right.
It doesn't make sense. So if we're running out of water, then why would our government be pushing ranchers and farmers into sprinkler irrigation when flood irrigation recharges the aquifers and the water is recycled over and over again? And it doesn't make sense. So not only do we have science that, even peer reviews on just the Klamath River Dam Environmental Impact Report and Study, which ended up being something like 6,000 pages long, even peer review was questioning the science behind the largest dam removal project in history. And how this hurts everybody, these are lakes, it's recreation, it's wildlife that now depends on this over 100-year ecosystem. The first dam went in 100 years ago. It's irrigation for farmers and ranchers. It's clean, green hydroelectric energy, provides 70,000 homes and businesses with clean, green energy. It's flood control. It's fire control. Drought control. It's our crops, our food. It's businesses that, you know, thrive on this river. And the other thing that people don't know, that the government isn't telling people about this particular this particular issue, the Klamath River Basin and the Klamath River, they're calling for full basin management. And what's full basin management? It's all tributaries, all streams that go into the Klamath River, which there are many. The Trinity is one, which Southern California gets some of its water from. Full basin management means they take control over all water, which means anybody has adjudicated riparian water rights or water rights now has to give up their water rights, or will, and they'll work this in. I don't know exactly how they're going to work it. And somebody might be saying, well, why would they have to take over water, tributaries, and rivers running in? Because once you take out those dams, there won't be 365 days a year, 24/7, of water, and the amount of water that's going down the Klamath River. The river starts in low, shallow, warm lakes, very algae-rich, phosphorus-rich, which is not good for fish. The water quality is poor. So the dams work as scrubbers, and as the water makes it through consecutive series of dams, and this is scientific fact, the water quality at the end of the ocean, near the ocean, is better than at the mouth of the river, and that's a reverse system. because most rivers start high in, you know, mountains, and the water quality at that point, at the spring or whatever, is beautiful. And then as most rivers make their way out to the ocean, they get warmer, they collect sediment, and get more pollutant. Well, the Klamath River is the opposite, and yet the public doesn't hear about that. And so if those dams are removed, it will displace thousands of people. It will displace our last industry in Siskiyou County, which is agriculture. It's hay, it's crops, it's beef, livestock. And what most people don't realize is that the cow is being tainted right now in livestock as responsible for the world's global warming. I think it's something, numbers are around 50% is what we're being told. And beef byproducts, asphalt has beef byproducts, tires have beef byproducts, China, glue, sticky notes, wax, shampoo, soap. I mean, we use like 99% of the cow besides furniture and beef for our sustenance. And most people don't realize how valuable the cow is. A cake is made from gelatin, which is my cow. So
wow.
We have, you're an educator, and we have a miseducation going around. And, the USDA is part of this. They want to make meatless Mondays because they're claiming beef makes people obese. That's a false. That's a lie. Our government is lying to us. 3 ounces of beef is about the size of your hand, and to get the same vitamin B12 and zinc and protein, you're going to have to eat 7 chicken breasts or 3 ounces of tuna to get the same nutrient value from 1 3-ounce steak. So we're being completely misled. We're being completely lied to and misinformed. Raw milk is the same thing. Raw milk is under attack. I drink raw milk every day. It's a good allergent. And they're shutting down raw milk. They're shutting down co-ops. They're shutting down where we're independent, our government. And they have another movie to watch, great movie, called Farmageddon. And it's on Hulu and Netflix. And it's a mom who has 4 children. She's from Boston, Kristen Canty. She's also on Facebook. So if you can add her on your Facebook.
Would you spell her name for me?
Sure. Kristin.
Okay.
And her last name is Canty, Canty.
Mm-hmm. T as in Tom.
C as in cat. Like can do, can, T-Y.
Okay.
Like a
now, I'd like to just state the obvious for people who are not thinking exactly what she's saying here. Water is one of life's necessities. People and animals cannot live without water. And if we don't have enough water to flush our toilet and take showers and water our plants, we can get diseases and become ridden with health problems. And it causes a society to spiral down. And it is the backbone of the success of any society to have good, healthy water. Cholera and bad water was what caused millions of deaths throughout history. Now, the bubonic plague was by rats and other things, but cholera was a big effect to the failure of many cultures and societies and population reduction. And I might note that all of these same people who are doing this, part of their agenda is to reduce the population.
Yeah.
So how does that make you feel? What do you think about that?
Yeah. And when people say, well, the earth is overpopulated, Debbie, here's my comeback. Okay, then you go first. You show us how it's done. You think you go first, go off first.
Yeah, your family and you reduce the population first.
Yeah, and then
it's
and
your
then
idea.
You know, and same with
you
yours.
Demonstrate it.
Yeah,
there
go
we go.
Run. Go for it. Nobody's stopping you.
Oh no, but they want to kill off all the Christians and the conservative Republicans.
Right, right.
Thank you very much. I don't like that.
Yeah, and you know, on all these, so the other thing I wanted to mention about that, maybe we'll have more people, and I hate to use the term wake up because I know that, but I use it. And
it's been overused.
Some people off. Yeah.
We need a new term, Debbie.
Let's see. Well, we'll think about that. But for
educate
right now,
educate up, man up, something.
Yeah. is that from Redding, California, to, and I just found this out, from Redding, California to Fresno and the surrounding area, so it's 18 million acres, and under, right now, investigation for protection for little to no human use is 18 million acres in that whole area. It is prime ag land. So, and it's called the California Foothills Legacy Area.
Is this the same area often known as the breadbasket of the world when we were number five?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, it's from Redding all the way down. And I didn't believe it until I saw it. And supposedly, there's linkages to the Health Care Act. And I haven't figured that out yet. I do know that the America Great Outdoors Initiative, which was one of Obama's first projects when he became president, is to link all national parks together. And I've printed out the report. And on page 3, it talks about how 80% of Americans don't use the great outdoors. And, you know, the great outdoors, being out great outdoors makes us healthy and blah, blah, blah. And the quote, they get the numbers from the United Nations on urbanization. Why are we quoting the United Nations on a number that we, America, should know about America? So
how would they find it out? How would they know?
And why
is that a valuable primary source? As an educator and now an attorney since I graduated today, that's not a primary source document. That's not a valid source.
No, and then the other thing that's happening right now for public comment, so there's all this public comment going on. The One Bay Area Plan, they're going to have their EIR, EIS released in March. We have 45 days to fight regionalism. The majority of people, I'm guessing, maybe in 7 million citizens in residents in the Bay Area, I'm guessing 500,000 or less know about this plan. I'm guessing no one knows, very few people.
Well, you're starting to break up, so I'll talk a little bit. Keep staying on, though. But one of the things that bothers me is there are too many people who don't care. So if you can hear me, keep listening for a bit because you might come in and out. I've traveled. Keep trying to talk, and if I can hear you, I'll stop talking because silence isn't good. But, yes, people in the Bay Area, I think, and people in general, are so involved in their lives that they just trust their elected officials to do what they think is best for them. And they're keep talking if you want to talk, Debbie. Just interrupt me because I know you're coming in and out. But they keep, in fact, I'm going to try something here. It looks like I might have lost you there. Now you're back on. Maybe you called back in.
I did.
There you are. Okay, now you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, so hardly anybody knows about this plan, right? So that's one public comment period. And the document, we haven't seen it. It's going to be thousands of pages long. So we'll have 45 days as the public to respond. The other one is the Yosemite. It's at least it's got it, from my understanding, four binders full. It's got to be at least 4,000 pages. Public comment ends April 17th. The White House came out with the climate change plan draft report for America recently. I believe we have until April 12th. For public comment. That document, I printed it out. It's like 1,100 pages. And it quotes.
Would you please again say what you know or how we could find it? How people could make a comment. And if you don't know exactly, maybe you can look it up at some point and post it under my show here on my
Facebook
page.
Sure, I can do that. All right. Okay. You can do search terms like White House, climate change, climate action plan, public comment, draft.
On the climate action plan?
Climate change. It's climate change, public comment, climate change draft, like 2013 climate change draft, White House, and you'll find it.
Okay.
And so that's coming up. That's, 1,100 pages. And they quote, here's this movement against Monsanto. Monsanto, which has taken out, from our understanding, most people's understanding, farmers in India, patenting seeds and making it impossible for, people to plant their own seeds because they've got this whole strangle on our ag industry. So, and Nature Conservancy, ICLEI, these are the people that the White House is using to push forward this agenda to destroy our private property rights. And it's all there. It's all in their reports. They even quote the United Nations. And then we're told that we are nothing but a bunch of conspiracy theorists because we talk about Agenda 21. And I say about that, to conspire any other name than the well-documented official name, Agenda 21, or UN Agenda 21, to conspire another name other than the actual name is the conspiracy. That's the
exactly,
conspiracy.
And that is upon them, not us.
Right.
They're
and,
conspiring to take over America, and they're calling it some environmental agenda to benefit humanity, and indeed it's going to harm humanity.
Right. And for our representatives, I ran because I believe we're being misrepresented. Well, I don't believe. I know we're being misrepresented. We're being lied to. Cap and trade hasn't even kicked in yet. The results of AB 32, SB 375 haven't kicked in yet. Vehicle mile travel tax, Obamacare, which we know is a lie, and people it's costing more, and 3.8% tax on your selling of your home, and 1% every time you do a transaction with a credit card, there's a 1% tax. All these things. You can look at the Klamath River Dam removal project, how many millions of dollars of tax money, taxpayers' dollars, has gone into studying these projects that are not based on science. They're based on lies, manipulation, and agenda-driven science. So this abuse of the taxpayer, this flat-out corrupted abuse of the taxpayer, especially here in California, we are the pilot program for Agenda 21. We are.
Yes, we are.
And people
listen up and watch.
Oh, yeah, and you see it everywhere, high-density living, multimodal transportation, priority development areas, priority conservation areas, all based around this thing called livable communities. Well, let me tell you, by 2050, you go to America2050.org, America2050.org, you will see the regions that you and I have been talking about here. You will see how America is split up into regions, and we are connected by high-speed public transportation. So the goal is walkable, bikeable, public transportation communities only. No more cars. And how do you get people out of your cars? You tax them. You decrease the number of parking spots. You make driving a car expensive. You blame the car for greenhouse gas, global warming. You take away you just keep on making a car. They call it carism, by the way, carism. You make the car the enemy. You make transporting food. Here's another thing. There's this thing called 100 to 150 mile radius. When I was working at Google, I heard, we had our own food at restaurants and they were gourmet. Well, I kept hearing, this is back in 2007, I kept hearing the same about 100, 150 mile radius is sustainable. Well, that is sustainable only if it's a mega region. So the 150 mile radius means you can only get food. Yeah, sustainable food only comes from 100 to 150 mile radius around a region. So that means food producers like Siskiyou County, they're unsustainable because they don't fall in that 100 to 150 mile radius. So where do we get our food? Within 100 and 150 mile radius, but even worse, we get them from vertical farming. And what's vertical farming? Because this is all about we sprawl, we do horizontal sprawl in the United States. Well, they want us to do vertical sprawl. So you have your high density living areas on top of each other along multimodal corridors. And then you have vertical farms, which is a big high-rise building. And at first, the animals will be at the bottom, and then the methane from the animals will power. And you can look up vertical farming on YouTube and see videos on what a vertical farm is. This is no joke.
Well, people in the city probably don't know much about this at all, and we need to really become aware, people. So if you're listening and don't know about this, please listen to Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie.
And for our representative, I ran because we're being misrepresented. And I don't see how our policymakers, our legislative branches, the people we campaign for and we donate to and we get elected, I don't see how. When you look at farming and the rural area, how it impacts, we all get our fiber. We who live in the city, I live just below San Francisco. We who live in the city, we need our rural families, our rural areas to provide us with our shelter, our food, and our clothing. Those natural resources give us our life and our quality of life. So when you have all these issues on the outlying areas of big cities that is going to either destroy our food resources or destroy our fiber, like we can no longer timber in some areas in California, and our forests are being mismanaged. So when you put all the pieces together, how can you even create any kind of policy, even if it's in a city or a new tax, when you're not informing the public of all the issues that are happening? And so we cannot plan for the future if we are not being told all the facts that are happening. You cannot plan a vacation in Yosemite next year if they're saying Yosemite is going to be off limits. You can't.
Wow.
And they're not telling us these things. And these are, they're factual things. And they're not telling us.
Hmm.
And it, to me, it's criminal. It's criminal.
The secrecy is criminal, because that's not what a government of, by, and for the people is all about.
Not at all. Not at all. And even doing ICLEI is in practically the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. They say that they're a software, they say they're a consulting company that's providing many cities with greenhouse gas software. And ICLEI has its headquarters in Bonn, Germany. And they're now working with local government to create policy, environmental policy, living policy. And you can see on their Form 990s, their tax forms, that their one of their main goals is Local Agenda 21. What is Local Agenda 21? Agenda United Nations Agenda 21 at the local level. And under our Constitution, I think it's the Article 1, Section 10, is a thing called misprision of treason. And our state cannot create any kind of treaty or partnership with an international body. And that's
yes.
what we're doing.
Yes, exactly. Debbie, we're coming to the end of our time here. In fact, we've passed a little, but I think it's still recording. Ron Givens has decided he's going to start a blog talk radio show. And I think it'd be great if you were one of his first guests, and it probably would work out since we've talked together here on this program. And this has been a wonderful surprise for me tonight to have both of you call in. I feel really honored by it, and I think it's beneficial to everyone who listens to this. I'm going to try to get it out there and make people aware that they can hear about this discussion. Again, it's blogtalkradio.com, and to get me exactly, it's blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. And as people start these radio shows, we could either put the name of the person after it, or you can use perhaps the name of what you are going to focus on. Like if you started a radio show, you might put either your name after it, or you might put the agenda item that you want to discuss a lot. So it would give you a category. You can list your shows in a category and put in keywords that when people search for certain kind of radio shows, yours will pop up. So I hope you will consider doing that. You are really good at this. Or someone in your area and you be a guest speaker a lot, and you could get people on there who could share about this. Because this is, as you can hear by Debbie's great information that she has given us, she is a great resource here. She's obviously studied this, and I think that it is probably the most important issue that we could all focus together on. And I started off tonight with together we can win, or united we can win, and divided we fall, according to Abraham Lincoln. Our only hope is that we stand united together to win and save our country for our kids and grandkids. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to just say in a nutshell what you'd like to recap from what you've already discussed, so the listeners can kind of let it gel in their mind for someone that this is new information. They kind of need the bullet points and a recap of what you talked about. You can do that?
This is the first time I've been asked that, so I'm like, wow. Let's see, the recap. Well, what I'd say is America is under attack from within, from without, and from within. And we need to take over locally. Now, local is a kind of a scary word, and that's because the United Nations Agenda 21 plan is being implemented locally. And what do I mean by that? They are using the United Nations Agenda 21 blueprint on the environment, on human settlement, on monitoring, surveilling, and controlling every aspect of all human lives. They are using the blueprint of United Nations Agenda 21 locally, and it's called Local Agenda 21. So every time I hear the word local, I'm a little bit, I do a little research and find out what do they mean by local. Now, for conservatives, local is great. We need to run locally. We, like Ron was saying and you were saying, we need to run on, you know, local boards, whatever it is. Get on a local board. Even bike coalitions now have been taken over by the left, and they are using bike coalitions to get people to run for public office later on. That's one of their training grounds. So we need to be involved in the bike coalition. The whole plan is based around global warming. And we know if the environment was really under attack, as they say they are, our leaders say it is, then wouldn't Al Gore be walking the talk and not buying mansions, but selling them, tearing them down, and returning them to the earth as it once was before it was Al Gore's mansion? Or Obama flying all over and Michelle Obama going on vacation, the greenhouse gas. Their carbon footprint is huge, and they're telling you and me we need to change our behavior from consumer behavior, from ownership behavior, to rental service model. That's their own terminology, to one where we share things, bike shares, car shares. There is this whole movement about sharing things, because and this also goes to inheritance tax or inheritance. They don't want us to pass on what we've created in our lifetime. They want it to go back to the government because they don't believe in ownership. They don't believe in ownership of animals. They believe animals should have guardians, not ownership. So it's almost like the attack that we're experiencing from without and from within, and Ron kind of mentioned that conservatives we must have some kind of different DNA than the progressive far left. It to them, this environmental thing is such a religion to them that they will do anything to have their vision come true of a world where human beings live in high density regions massive amounts of people living on top of each other, picture China, and then surrounding us are cores and corridors where there's no human use to very little human use. And the only people who will go out, be able to go to Tahoe and the Yosemite, are government. Our government, like Obama, will be able to go in anytime he wants, and special interest groups like the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy. And if you look at the people behind the Nature Conservancy and the Sierra Club and Fauna, they are very wealthy people, and they are not changing their behavior, but they want you and me to change ours. And I think they want their own playing field. I think they want to be able to come to California whenever they want. And most people will either be gone out of California because we can't survive here anymore. It's going to be way too expensive. Or we're going to be living in tight, like in the One Bay Area plan, in that region, the Bay Area region. But they'll have, these elitists, these fascists, these eco-fascists, will be able to go to Tahoe and go skiing. They'll be able to go to Big Bear and Montana and wherever they want. But we won't. And like you said, this is a depopulation program. They believe, the United Nations, people who wrote, Paul Ehrlich, this woman, Mary Evelyn Tucker, who is trying to push the United Nations Earth Charter, they believe the world's population is overpopulated by over 6 billion people. So how do you get rid of 6 billion people? You put fluoride in the water. You make people get vaccinations, you put chemicals in our food, you give us a healthcare system that has death panels in it. You don't take you restrict it. There's another thing called Codex Alimentarius, which is the United Nations food law. And under that, vitamin C is going to be considered toxic at certain levels, to the point where you're going to have to get a prescription in order to get vitamin C. And you ask why? Because they believe the world is overpopulated, and it should be the billion of people of their choice, not of ours. So
I have a new definition for special interest groups. It's people who want to further their own interest at our expense.
Yes. And that's it in a nutshell. I would say, you asked me to, in 5 minutes or less, I don't think I did that great of a job.
You were pretty close.
You nailed it in a nutshell.
Six or seven. Yeah, I'll say that again. Special interest groups are people who want to further their own interest at your expense.
Yep.
And that is the basis of communism. It is definitely not the basis of our founding documents, which is based upon individual rights, property ownership, and personal freedoms to share and use the land together as a country. It's a total other side of the coin of our type of government. It is, if they succeed, a bloodless coup, which I have contended from the beginning. I thank you so much, Debbie. We have gone over our time, and I really hope it works for you to develop some programs up there in Northern California. And are you going to the convention tomorrow?
No, my mom broke her ankle, so I'm
going
to help my dad feed. And, you know, they're mostly in meetings these days on water, on wolves, on hay. I mean, on the dams, on monumentalization, which is Obama has an opportunity to monumentalize, take 10 million acres from Northern California to Southern Oregon out of private control and make it off limits forever. So there's just all these issues, and if, people put the big picture together, I think they would be shocked.
Well, we are going to hear more from Debbie, I'm sure. And if you want to hear this information again, you can listen to the archived session we've had tonight at www.blogtalkradio.com. Well, I'm going to have to say goodnight, Debbie. I appreciate so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I added you as a
Facebook friend.
Yes, this is great. Just thank you
much.
And have
you.
A great
thank
night.
Thank you. You
take
too.
Care.
God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, listening audience, we are so glad you've been with us. I'm just going to hang on a couple of minutes and play a little music on the way out and say my housekeeping things. This is Diane Linning, your host tonight, who has been sharing CRP convention news up meeting in Sacramento. I say up because it's north of where I live. Sacramento, California, where the Republican Party has been meeting this weekend and trying to move in a transition process to strengthen the party. And I'm encouraging them to take on the new mantra of United We Win, rather than divide and conquer, which has failed us. We need to take on what Abraham Lincoln reminded us of: when a house divided against itself cannot stand. And believe me, we are going to be, or have to be, united in order to win against this Agenda 21 that is under the guise of environmentalism to make a healthy world, a healthy Earth. Well, you know, people are a part of a healthy Earth, and killing them is not healthy, and it harms people. And we are not about harming in the Republican Party. We are about uplifting and helping people to make a better life for themselves and their families, to have a better education, to be better informed, and to be more active within the political workings of their local community, their county, their state, and their federal government, in order to have a voice. And in that way, we become of, by, and for the people. A government of, by, and for the people. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. This is Diane Linning, your host, signing off. Until next time. All right, and my song is saying that too there. That was just unique. So thank you for being with us. Good night, and God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.